Vegas, baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you count up your money. That's how you find out who's best.
If all my bets were safe, there just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you, this is Behind the Bets.
Welcome in another Behind the Bets podcast. I am Doug Kazarian. We are taping this on Thursday, October 18th. Coming up, Mike Clay, Fantasy Insider, will join us. He has four prop bets to break down, and also John Murray, obviously, of the Westgate, odds maker and director. He's going to recap. We are going to recap together a poor performance in the baby bankroll bonanza. Kai, you must be loving this. You're going to get paid.
Yeah, I got to admit, I got my swagger back a little bit after you just been cleaning up. Feels good. I got
to say. Nice to be the house, isn't it? You know, you eventually let the people lose. So we've talked about we're not going to win every week, but hopefully we will win more than we lose. And so we'll do baby bankroll bonanza into this weekend. Shockingly, I won't have nine plays, so that'll be a good thing. And then we'll also recap last week. Awesome game on Sunday night with the Chiefs and Patriots. And we'll look ahead to this coming weekend straight ahead.
He started as a ticket writer.
Well, the handle has gotten a lot higher here in the last hour.
Now he's a race and sportsbook director.
I have the guys at work here calling me Mr. Director and not looking directly into my eyes.
With people.
Brought in a whole new staff this year. It's kind of a Seinfeld-esque move where we just rotate the guys so the material doesn't get stale, Doug.
What happened in between? A hot tub and ESPN.
Getting to hot tub weather out here. Very chilly. I needed a jacket today. And it just always sort of, I don't know if it's Pavlovian, but it just triggers the busy time for sports bettors. With all these overlapping sports, we have our man, John Murray, to break it all down for us.
It's probably my favorite time of year, Doug. You got the baseball playoffs, NBA and hockey are starting. The NFL is going on. College football is going on. And then the weather in Vegas is awesome right now, man. Try to get out there and play some golf this weekend. That's the weather right now in Vegas is ideal.
Yeah, what is it? That's what I was going to ask you. I've forgotten.
Oh, man. It's like during the day, it's like in the mid-70s. I mean, it's like San Diego weather here.
Do you have time
to golf? Today, on my day off. Yeah, the high today is 75. The high tomorrow is 80. I mean, it's pretty nice here, man. Yeah, I'll play some golf on Monday probably.
It's also
possibly.
It's also very weird time in both the college and pro football seasons, just given that you really got to show your experience to nail these weeks. I think college especially, it's like the underdogs, you know, these big favorites. You know, we talked about it in the podcast a week ago with Brad Edwards. Like the percentage of all these top four teams, like we're all talking about chaos scenarios where there's five undefeated. Like it just doesn't happen. And at some point, Clemson's going to lose or one of these other teams. And sure enough, we saw Georgia lose last week. So it doesn't happen. And then the NFL's different. Like we think we know everything. But I forget which coach coined that phrase of the NFL's in the quarters. And so we're through the first quarter, and it's, you know, week seven-ish, week six. This is sort of where you just start to really have some head-scratching results.
I always enjoy when the first college football playoff rankings come out and everybody on Twitter just has a complete meltdown. And those first couple weeks are totally meaningless because a lot of those teams are going to play each other down the stretch, and it really doesn't matter who's ranked number one, number two in October. There's a long way to go, and the NFL too. I mean, there's a long way to go in the NFL season. A lot's going to change between now and the start of the postseason.
And a lot has already changed, and we saw it last week with the Patriots. I mean, are they the best team in the AFC? I mean, I know they won at home, but
That was a close game. I thought the Patriots defense kind of gave it away there at the end as far as if you had the point spread. I don't know, man. Kansas City's pretty good. If Kansas City can get that game in Arrowhead, that'd be very interesting. But do you really want to back Andy Reid in a playoff game against Bill Belichick and Tom Brady?
Well, no. I did it last year against Mike Munchak and got burned, so I definitely don't want to do it against Brady and Belichick.
No, but this year Andy Reid's got a very different situation at quarterback. I really think Patrick Mahomes is a special player. He's basically a rookie, so it's a lot to ask of him in the postseason. But I think he's got the tools, man. I think this kid is going to be pretty special for a very long time.
Yeah, he's a new face of the league, or excuse me, at least the eventual face of the league. Chiefs are 5-1. Patriots, Dolphins, Bengals, Ravens, 4-2 in terms of the AFC. But the Chiefs are 6-0 against the point spread, the only undefeated team, ATS, after that backdoor cover, if you will. Not quite the conventional backdoor, but given that they were not covering were really since the second quarter on, but a strong strong touchdown to the speedster.
New England needed a touchdown there when they were up by four. They settled for the field goal to go up by a touchdown, and then they just immediately gave up a touchdown on literally the very next play, the 75-yard touchdown to Tyreek Hill that you just mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, and here's the thing, like, you've talked about it with keeping your timeouts at the end. If they had a couple timeouts, the Chiefs did, they would have let him score. Andy Reid knows the math there. He would have let him score a touchdown. Yeah. But they only, I mean, the Belichick knew that in 45 seconds or whatever. But look, it's frustrating when there, you lay the 3.5.
There was nothing they could do there at the end. And you knew that as soon as the Chiefs scored that touchdown, that the Patriots were going to win by three. I mean, that was pretty obvious what was going to happen there. But yeah, my hat's off to Kansas City. Their offense is just incredible.
What else have we learned or think we know based on that? So we know the Ravens are pretty – what was it, three straight road games? They go in and take care of business at Tennessee. That was a solid Ravens, 21-0.
They might have the best defense in the league right now. I mean, I know everybody is touting the Bears, and I actually like the Bears this week. We'll get into that later. But Baltimore's defense is just phenomenal.
Where do we stand on the Jags? Because I'm not going to say it was the most disappointing game of the season in terms of when you factor in, like, the aspirations of the Jacksonville Jags, but that was a pretty bad look for them a week ago in Dallas, and definitely they took a hit on the bonanza there.
Oh, they looked awful in that game. I mean, they got thoroughly outplayed by what I think you and I both agree is a mediocre Dallas team. There's definitely – the Jaguars have some warts, let's say that, and – I heard a rumor that they were looking at bringing in a veteran quarterback. I don't know if there's any truth to that. The name I heard thrown out was Eli Manning. If that's true, I think they should look somewhere else.
Well, that's the thing. So I was texting with someone about potentials. Kai laughs. Kai, what's it been like for a Giants fan?
It's rough, man. It's very rough. I can understand the whole Tom Coughlin, you know, the whole thing down there, but it's rough. It's rough for people to just admit that, look, he did great. He did phenomenal things for us with two Super Bowls, but it's over.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
I mean, that's what fans were getting. Giants were getting that kind of narrative and dialogue about Eli Manning. That's why they went with Barkley. There was chatter about potential sleeper in the NFC East.
Oh, the Giants were one of the most popular future book teams in the whole league, man. I think the Giants... week one of the season, when the NFL season started, the Giants were our biggest liability in the future pool. They were an extremely popular Super Bowl bet. They were last year, too. The Giants' biggest problem, other than Eli Manning, is their first seven games were brutal. They had a very, very difficult schedule to open the season.
But they're not a quarterback away, right? They weren't a good Eli Manning. They had other problems. Let's go back to the Jags, because I was kicking around this topic of quarterbacks they could bring in that would make them better. And, I mean, I'm talking like Jacoby Brissett.
Jacoby Brissett is the name that I think is the number one pick. Not that he's like – look, he's not Aaron Rodgers. But he was very effective last year for the Colts. I would much rather have him than Eli Manning, personally.
Is Derek Carr available?
Derek Carr? I don't know. I mean, I think that the Raiders fans out here would certainly like to make him available. Derek Carr not too popular amongst the future Raiders fans in Las Vegas.
What about Bridgewater? Why couldn't they have gotten him?
Yeah, I really liked Bridgewater before his knee injury. I don't see why not. I mean, are you sure you want to just completely give up on Bortles, though? I mean, has it been that bad that you just want to totally dump the guy?
The worst thing that happened to that franchise was Bortles reaching the AFC Championship game a year ago and really should have won that game. That was the worst thing that happened. That was the worst thing that happened because now they believe – they gave him the big contract, and I don't think they're gonna win in the Bortles era. Why not go get Fitzpatrick? Go get Fitzpatrick, make a run this year.
I like Fitzpatrick. Now that's an idea. I mean, I don't understand why the Buccaneers went back to Jameis. I'd rather have Fitzpatrick in there.
Well, I mean, he is your number one overall pick. You got to give him I mean, that's a corporate thing, right? Like, I'm assuming.
I think that's probably what it is. I think his contract is up at the end of this year, too. I think he'd be up for the one-year extension this season. I believe this is his fourth year with the Buccaneers.
So last week, Brock Osweiler news hit. What happened to the point spread?
Well, you know, we got that news a little bit early. So we moved the number up a little bit before a lot of the other teams, or I'm sorry, a lot of the other books, excuse me, and we wrote some money on the Dolphins, and it looked smart because the number ended up going even higher on Sunday morning. But, you know, obviously Osweiler played about as well as he could ever play. I thought that long completion he had in overtime was pretty much just luck, or the ball deflected into his receiver's hands. But I'm not going to take anything away from the guy. The guy played well. That was a good result for us overall, but we did write intentionally some money on Miami on Saturday night, trying to stay ahead of that move. So it was a win, but it wasn't as big of a win as it could have been. A
couple things I am going to take away from his win, because I got all these people who are like, I love the Dolphins. That's just too many points. Dude, if Trubisky weren't terrible, Bears would have covered easily. They were up 7. He was in the red zone, and he throws an ill-advised pick in the end zone.
Yeah, and I think that all the narrative, like the sky is falling for Chicago because they lost to the Dolphins and Brock Osweiler, is ridiculous. I mean, they had that game won there at the very end. You just mentioned the turnover by Trubisky. Even after that, they had to give up that long touchdown pass to Miami. And I think they had a field goal attempt in overtime to win the game, too. I know it was a long kick, but
they played for the 52-yarder.
Right.
And then
that's true.
On top of that, you mentioned the Osweiler lucky bounce. That was like 3rd-and-11, I believe. So
yeah,
in overtime,
a lot had to happen for Miami to win that game. So I think if you're a Bears fan, I understand your frustration, but I wouldn't overreact too much to that loss.
Yeah, I have an issue with all the people pumping their chest out, thinking they nailed it, and they're like, you got to take that many points, blah blah blah. They got bailed out.
I did see people on Twitter. Well, the score at halftime was 7-0 Dolphins. Is that correct? I did see people on Twitter like bragging about how they knew the line was way too high. Now, I noticed none of them tweeted it before the game. They were bragging about that at, like, halftime. So it's always easier to say that after the game has started and there's been a few scores.
And I wrote back to someone, settle down, long game. It was actually 7-0 when they had the ball, and then Osweiler throws a pick. So they were pounding out their chest, assuming they were getting a second score to go up, plus a 7 points, and then obviously Bears had a chance to even cover.
I joke with Ed Sammons that there's almost no point in even watching these NFL games until about 12:45 local time out here, because it just seems like it all comes down to that last 15 to 20 minutes, and those last 15 to 20 minutes were not good to the Superbook on Sunday. Let me tell you that much.
Why is that? So what happened? What were the biggest hits?
Atlanta kicking the 57-yard field goal up by 2 to go up by 5. I thought that was maybe the most questionable coaching decision of the year. Falcons get away with it because Matt Bryant makes the 57-yard field goal, and then they hold the Buccaneers out of the end zone. But, I mean, I'd love your thoughts on it. I thought that was an absolutely terrible decision by Dan Quinn and the Falcons.
I was okay with it at the time because what does punting do?
I would have gone for it. It was 4th-and-2. I go for it.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
My number one choice is going for it. My number two choice would be punt, even though I hate punting. My last choice would have been field goal. If Matt Bryant misses that kick, Tampa Bay almost definitely wins the game. They take over midfield.
The game had like 60-something points, so you can't punt, especially when you have Matt Bryant. Like, that's the thing. They didn't do it with like the Browns kicker. You trust your guys. It's like a Steph Curry wide-open 3 when you're down 2. Like, you need the 2 to tie, but play the percentages. That guy. I mean, and I was talking about with one of our co-anchors, Kevin Connors. We were just, shooting the breeze in the pod one day. Like, is the field goal going to evolve like the three-pointer has? Like, is Justin Tucker, is every team going to have a Justin Tucker in 10, 15 years? Are they going to bang out 70-yarders? Like, where are we, or is Steph Curry the Tucker and is just going to be the outlier?
I think the quality of the kickers is going to get higher and higher. I mean, the quality of athletes just evolves. And certainly the kickers now in the NFL are much better than when we were kids. And, I definitely think in 20 years you're going to have a slew of Justin Tuckers out there. Just like in 20 years you're going to have a bunch of Steph Currys just knocking down outside shots all over the place.
And we almost have it now. I mean, look at the evolution of the big man. You got guys like Hassan Whiteside. Brook Lopez last night did a step back three. I think he went through the legs as well. All these big men are shooting. Now, Mo Bamba all of a sudden is shooting threes now. I mean, guys like Kawhi Leonard, Aaron Gordon coming in the NBA as horrible shooters, and then they get with the shooting coach and they evolve. So my question is,
Sports evolve.
So is Matt Bryant I guess is my question. Are we there with Matt Bryant that he is Justin Tucker?
He's an incredibly clutch kicker. That kick was indoors. I get what you're saying. I still would have gone for it.
Can't disagree with you there, but it was a bizarre. Look, in the bonanza, I had Tampa Bay, so I was a little upset, but I could see. So that game burned you guys. What else?
Steelers. The Steelers-Bengals game. Bengals, you know, they scored the go-ahead touchdown. I was sitting in the back next to Ed Sammons. The first thing out of his mouth, they left too much time on the clock. And sure enough, Pittsburgh goes right down the field. Roethlisberger, the touchdown pass to Antonio Brown. Not the most surprising thing, the Steelers stealing a win late in Cincinnati against Marvin Lewis and the Bengals. I feel like we've seen that a few times.
And we've also seen some stupid decisions regarding the punt. And you and I got tagged in a tweet, and I couldn't believe what I saw. Fourth and one. Yeah. On the opponent's 42, the Bengals punted.
Yeah, that's just, I mean, we talk about this every week. We can talk about it. It's just, you can't do that in modern NFL. Fourth and one on the opponent's 42, that should be an automatic go for it. I'd go for it on my own 42. On the opponent's 42, I wouldn't even think about it. It's just an automatic that I'd go for that.
Well, it's funny. We ridiculed Jason Garrett, and we weren't the only ones all week. Sure enough, he had a similar situation. Not at the end of the game or in overtime to win it like he did against Houston on Sunday night, but he found themselves in that situation. They went for it. Gee, they converted and ended up getting points.
Good for Jason Garrett, man. I mean, you got to learn from your mistakes. You know, you can't. I mean, I won't criticize somebody that makes a mistake and then learns from it and does differently the next time. That's what smart people do.
What do we make of the Jets right now? They are 3-3.
I like Sam Darnold. I think that the Jets, they play hard. I know they've had some tough losses on the road where they've looked pretty bad, but, you know, they play very hard. I like Darnold. It looks like they finally have a quarterback. I don't want to jinx things for Jets fans, but I think the Jets have finally found a franchise guy at quarterback, and I don't see why they can't hang around in the AFC East with Miami and Buffalo in there. I don't see why they couldn't hang around in the wild card race.
They have some injuries this week at wide receiver, but they're the definition of frisky. And another team that is the definition of frisky is the 49ers. And we both sort of saw this coming. We thought that line on Monday night was way too high. I believe our David Purdom was tweeting 7-1, I think, tick account at one of the books, not you guys. I'm sure you guys had a similar tick account with the Packers, the Niners. And I had some buddies who are relatively new to gambling texted me saying, oh, Packers looks too easy. And I was like, do not lay that number. The guy's got no receivers healthy. That is just a square alert written all over it.
Well, Green Bay is just not a very good team. We've talked about that all season. They've got this one guy who's just incredible. He's injured, by the way. He's hobbling around out there. And he's just dragging this team along like he has for years. You know, I hadn't seen that Terry Bradshaw video. Did you see this? The Bradshaw video from 2 years ago where he said he'd rather have Mike McCarthy than Aaron Rodgers?
I don't think I've heard a dumber comment.
I was on VSiN on Tuesday. I said I think that's the worst sports take I've ever heard. Ever. And that includes everything Skip Bayless has said about LeBron James. I think that is a worse take than even Skip's, you know, obsession with LeBron James. And all the other dumb takes I've heard, McCarthy over Rodgers, I'm putting it number one all time.
Yeah, I was waiting for more, like, that was out of context or whatever. And maybe it was like his rookie year where it was like 2 years ago.
Yeah, it was in 2016. It was towards the end of that year. If you remember that year, Green Bay got off to a really bad start, but they rallied. They won their last five or six regular season games. They won at Dallas in the divisional playoff round. Rodgers made an incredible throw to the sideline to set up the winning field goal.
So that was the relaxed year when he told everyone to relax.
Yeah, exactly. And then they ended up losing to the Falcons in the NFC Championship game. But I would argue that Rodgers dragging that team to a conference championship game is a feather in his cap. Very impressive, because that's just not much of a team.
You mean that's a feather in Mike McCarthy's cap?
Oh, yeah, and Coach Mike McCarthy, I mean, that guy would have been through three or four jobs by now if he wasn't coaching Aaron Rodgers, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, that was a pretty ridiculous comment. I can't disagree with you on that being the worst take I've ever heard.
It's a bad take. That is a bad take. Skip Bayless has had some bad LeBron James takes, though. I remember last season when I think J.J. Redick got hurt towards the end of the regular season, and Skip tweeted out what a break it was for LeBron. I'm not sure how the two things were even remotely related, but...
Well, that opened up the Eastern Conference for LeBron, because otherwise Philly...
Oh, yeah. Wow. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Well, I don't even think they were on the same side of the bracket, if I remember correctly. But, yeah, just another break.
I have some comments off air we can discuss to move that. Let's go to week 7. We start with a barn burner tonight. Broncos and Cardinals. The favorite on Thursday night has at least won the game straight up through the first 6 weeks of the season, except the Falcons. But they were obviously 1-point favorites. They closed, but they were dogs. So the favorite has won and I think either covered or pushed every game except for that wonky Eagles-Falcons opener.
Yeah,
the Rams-Vikings landed 7, right?
Yeah, that was a push. But unfortunately, that's not going to help anybody this week because we took a little bit of money on Arizona plus 1.5 this morning right when I got in. And right now we have that game at Pick'em, Denver at Arizona. I think if you're a Denver fan, you actually want to lose tonight and have the Broncos fire Vance Joseph and move on from that mistake by John Elway. I think for the long-term health of your franchise, that's a better move.
Really? You think he gets fired if they lose?
I think this is a good time to fire him. We have a week and a half off after a Thursday night game. There was people speculating if they thought he would get fired after Sunday's loss. I said absolutely not because they have a game on Thursday. I think if they were to lose tonight, it would be their fifth consecutive loss after a 2-0 start, and I think it would be time for the Bronco franchise to move on.
I feel like the biggest square, but I kind of like Denver tonight.
Yeah, there's that. The money is very split. I did see some guys I respect were taking the Cardinals on Sunday night, right when we opened this game. And we're seeing a little bit of money come in on the Cardinals this morning, but nothing really significant. This is quite a nationally televised game, Doug. Broncos-Cardinals. I can't imagine this is what Fox had in mind when they bought the Thursday night package.
I imagine you're not going to have a big handle on it because you got LeBron making his debut.
You got LeBron. You've got a baseball playoff game tonight. There's some college football tonight. You know, it's like I said earlier. I mean, this is just a very packed time in the sports calendar. I mean, I could make a case that we should have the baseball game on with sound tonight over the football game. But we won't because ultimately that decision comes down to where there's more money bet. And as usual, the NFL will rule the day there. There will be more money on the NFL game. But it will be more spread out than usual because of what you just said, LeBron's playing, and there's a lot of other sports going on.
Are the Golden Knights still winning that sportsbook face-off, I call it, of the of the sound in the sportsbooks?
It depends what else is going on. I mean, they're not going to beat an NFL game. But, I mean, they definitely – like, they had a game on Sunday morning. I think they played the Flyers, if I remember, but – No, the NFL games were obviously on the big screens with sound. Nothing beats the NFL. It's just, it rules over everything.
You mentioned the calendar turning to October. That means the Chargers are playing good football as opposed to September. Impressive win in Cleveland, and got them laying nearly a touchdown here at home against Tennessee. Oh, actually,
yeah, 6.5-point favorite.
This is the London game, right?
Yeah, this game is in London. Now, and, you know, I read about the Chargers. They actually stayed in Ohio after their win over the Browns on last Sunday. They didn't go back all the way to the West Coast. And from what I've read, they've gotten out to England a little bit early. And I think they're handling the travel right. It's just hard for me to back the Chargers laying 6.5 points, Doug. But, you know, one thing we always see in these London games is one of these teams goes over there and quits. We saw last week the Raiders quit. I think one of these two teams will quit. My lean would be towards the Titans, but I don't know if I want to lay 6.5 points with L.A.
I don't know if Vrabel will let him. I think he's got him in the right kind of frame of mind all season.
I like Vrabel, but I think that the Titans have been exposed a little bit the last 2 weeks. I mean, Baltimore just manhandled them on Sunday. But yeah, I'm going to stay away from this game. 6:30 a.m. start time out here on the West Coast too. It's pretty brutal.
So how do you staff that? What are the changes you make for that?
We bring in a few guys early. We open at 6 a.m. instead of the normal 7 a.m. But, you know, most of the people betting this game are doing it the night before, or they're doing it on their phone app. We'll get some money on the second half betting, because by that time you've got a lot of people filtering into the book for the 10 a.m. kickoffs, because that game goes to halftime around 8-ish. But for the most part, there's not like a ton of people that are getting here at 6 a.m. to bet this game over the counter.
Well, that's the beauty of technology, as you mentioned, the app betting.
Right.
Or they're coming home late at night. They're coming home from a rough Saturday night and want a little action.
I can't even relate to that at all, but I would imagine that other people have been through something like that.
Right, right. Right. All right, let's go to some more intriguing games. Patriots seemingly back on track in Chicago. Seems like a short number. I think this will be a big decision for the book.
I think this will be the most heavily bet 10 a.m. game of the year so far in the NFL. Just two high-profile teams. It's exactly the kind of bet the public loves to make, right? The cheap road favorite coming off of the high-profile win and the underdog coming off of a back-breaking loss. We've already seen sharp guys taking the Bears. This is going to be just an absolute standoff between the public and the sharps. The public will be on New England. The sharps will be on the Bears. I mean, I can tell you guys right now, the ticket count's already about 5.5 to 1 on the Patriots, and we've seen some sharp money come in on the Bears this morning. So this is going to be, I think, the standoff of the year so far in the NFL between the pros and the Joes.
So you mentioned already, it's Thursday morning. So people that are they tying them to parlays? Like, why are people already betting that game, the squares?
I'll say most of the money is on parlays, but there's quite a few straight bet tickets on the Patriots as well. But yeah, most of the Patriot money is definitely on parlay. Same with the Vikings game. The Vikings ticket count's even more lopsided than that. It's like 6 or 7 to 1 on the Vikings. But again, most of those tickets on Minnesota are in parlays.
All right, we'll get to the Vikings in a sec. So this is an interesting thing because Chicago, their strength is their defense, particularly their pass rush, and that has been the kryptonite for Brady over the years. So I can see the sharps getting involved, but 3 does seem like not enough.
Yeah, this is the Patriots' first road game in a month. They played 3 straight home games. They're 0-2 on the road this season. They got beat pretty easily by both Jacksonville and Detroit back in September when they played 2 straight games on the road. So I'll be interested to see how they handle this. I think a pretty tough road trip against a Chicago team that needs a win all of a sudden after they lost that game that I'm sure they expected to win last Sunday.
But Trubisky stinks, and he's facing Belichick.
Yeah, that's a tough spot for Trubisky. I don't know if he stinks, but it's a tough spot for Trubisky. I'm not as down on him as some others are, but no, he's not. He's not exactly Patrick Mahomes either.
All right. Well, the fun was fun while it lasted. Cleveland has come back to earth after getting waxed at home. No longer, what did you call them, the theatrics in every game? They did not, it was not very theatrical last week.
That was such a disappointing game. And we needed the Browns, as you can imagine. And they just, I don't know if Baker Mayfield might be hurt right now. He was moving a little gingerly. But at the end of the day, Baker Mayfield had no chance against that Chargers pass rush. I mean, the Chargers defensive linemen were just destroying the Browns offensive linemen. They were in Mayfield's face right away on every play. And wait till the Chargers get Joey Bosa back. The Chargers defense could be scary with a healthy Joey Bosa.
I think he is hurt, right? He slipped on that. The down. So there was a he was running towards the sideline, and we all know the chain gang puts the just drops the chains and like backs away so they don't get hurt. And so it was down, and I think it's like a slippery, you know, the big orange thing is slippery, and Mayfield put his plant leg there when he was trying to slow down after getting out of bounds, and that sort of just like locked his knee a little bit. And I think he was kind of nicked up the rest of the way.
I think so too. But again, I mean, from what I saw, he had no chance against that Chargers pass rush. I mean, they were in his face right away, and he's a rookie, and he looked like a rookie on Sunday.
Well said. Yeah, I mean, at some point, these guys play like rookies. We've seen some of these guys come back to earth a little bit, and there's going to be some growing pains, and nothing's going to be a straight line. All right, you mentioned Minnesota. They're at the Jets, short favorite like we talked about, so that's going to – you have already a stronger disparity in ticket count there.
Yeah, it's about 6 or 7 to 1 right now on the Vikings. And again, this is exactly the kind of game the public loves. I only have to lay 3 points on the run. They love spots like this. The Vikings right now are -3, -120 here at the Superbook. I'm sure we're going to need the Jets and Sam Darnold on Sunday morning. Should be one of our bigger decisions of the week. That, along with certainly the Bears, will be
so,
a very big.
So what do you do in these situations? When they're big decisions, you just have to stay on the number because of the market, right?
You can do whatever you want, but we're not afraid to, you know, we're not afraid to take some big decisions in the NFL. I mean, that's nothing that we're too worried about. And some of the guys here I've talked to like the Jets in this spot, so we're not gonna do anything too drastic here. I mean, this is the kind of game where you need to win games like this over the course of the NFL season, and you win enough of them to be okay.
How do you put a number on Miami with Tannehill out? Lions are in town.
I got asked about it on Sunday. I made it 3. It opened 2.5. It's since been bet up to Detroit -3, even money. Detroit coming off of a bye week, playing. I think the Dolphins' record is kind of fool's gold. They're 4-2 right now. And I don't think Detroit's a bad bet here. I really don't. I mean, I think Osweiler's got to come back down to earth. We mentioned earlier that he was a little fortunate in some situations last week. So I don't think Detroit's a bad pick here, though. It's tough to lay the -3, though.
It's not that tough.
You don't think it's tough? You got no problem with it.
No, I think we're sniffing out some bonanza here. Look.
Okay,
here,
no, that's fine.
This is when I get – see, I kind of like my lane that I am as a better because I do have sort of that – it's almost like the angel and the devil on each shoulder. There is the square angel on one shoulder, and then there's the sharp, the people I talk to, and I respect the numbers, and I'm not a total square. But I think the squares win bets too, and you have to kind of
in
think
the NFL.
Like,
they absolutely the NFL.
You kind of
they
have
absolutely
to think
do.
Like one sometimes. And here's my thought process. And this is not a case of seeing the roulette wheel, the history of the roulette wheel, seeing 11 straight reds and thinking it's got to go black. Osweiler's not going to cover every game the rest of the year. He's too bad.
Probably
my,
not.
My point is, and there's also market correction where there's no market correction in the roulette wheel. Like, I'm just going to hammer against him and then double up the rest of the way. Like, that's kind of how I'm thinking along these lines.
That's not a terrible strategy.
I think Osweiler is terrible.
I like the visual, by the way, of Square Doug and Sharp Doug battling for Doug's attention as we get closer to Sunday. That's really funny.
Which one is the red and which one is the white? I don't know. Is the square the red?
No, I think the square is the white. I think the devil is the sharp one. That's what I
the
think.
House, the evil.
Listen to the good angel.
Yeah.
The good angel, he wants you to play Lions -3.
Yeah, I'm going to. I'm just trying to envision how much units can I bet, because if I have to press, I need to still have enough in Bonanza, or Kai's newborn's going to get a new pair of shoes.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, we don't want Kai to get too much out of us, so hopefully we can pick some winners. I mean, Kai's a good guy, but I'm not trying to outfit his whole house.
That's true, and given last week, we might be headed in that direction.
Oh, man, we'll be sending gifts to Kai. Kai, can I set up some sort of a payment plan with you, pal?
Yeah, I'll send you the Venmo account, and we'll schedule
right,
it out.
All right, cool.
Zero APRs like for 6 months.
We could just do like every 2 weeks, I'll just have some of my paycheck siphoned into your bank account. That's fine.
Oh, so you want to go that route? I was thinking more like when you buy a couch or a washer and dryer, you can do the first 6 months, no money, and then you can finance it that way.
Kai and I will talk offline. We'll come up with something that works for both of us.
Yeah, no taking advantage.
Strange line, intriguing game, Carolina at Philly.
Yeah, and all the money's on Philly. I'll tell you that. I'll tell you guys that right now. And it's not surprising. Carolina, a bad loss to Washington. I liked the Redskins last week. I thought that was a good spot for them. They got the win. And Carolina really would be on a 2-game losing streak right now if Graham Gano doesn't bail them out that 63-yard field goal to beat the Giants 2 weeks ago. All the money's on Philadelphia. We did take a bet under 45.5 for 10,000 earlier in the week on this game. So, every NFL game goes over, right? So it'd be nice to root for the over, finally. We're certainly under 45.5 for 10,000 was the play. We knocked our total here down to 45. We're going to need Carolina.
What day did you take that bet?
I believe it was on Monday. But
you'll take a 10 grand bet on a Monday for a Sunday game?
It was the 15th, so Monday. Yeah, it was Monday. Yeah, well, from certain people.
Right.
You always got to remember that certain players are in different categories. Now, we wouldn't take that from any guy, but from certain players that we're familiar with, we'll take a bet like that, yeah.
Buffalo at Indy. Colts have one win this year, and they are laying more than a touchdown. Interesting.
Are you a little disappointed that the Bills aren't going with Nathan Peterman, Nathan J. Peterman? I really wanted to see Peterman for a full game. That guy is just so entertaining. I mean, he goes in last Sunday, pick six, another pick, game over. I mean, he's great.
He's really bad.
Josh Allen is not good, obviously. Right now he's not good, but at least he doesn't throw a pick on like every other pass. Peterman is unbelievable, and if you have a bet on the Bills under wins for this season, you certainly like seeing Peterman under center for Buffalo.
I mean, not to go completely off the rails, but if you're in that court hearing with the Colin Kaepernick stuff, don't you just put in Peterman's tape and just say, I rest my case, Your Honor.
He's your best example, because I actually think C.J. Beathard is playing pretty well for the 49ers right now.
Oh, Beathard's good. Beathard's
but I would say, yeah, Peterman. Peterman's definitely Exhibit A. I can't disagree with that. I mean, he's absolutely ridiculously bad. It's incredible that he's still getting NFL snaps after what we saw from him last year.
So some of the worst quarterbacks I've seen are like, remember in the playoff game, Logan Thomas was a third stringer for Arizona after Carson Palmer got hurt. He had to play, right? And he's now He's now a tight end in the NFL.
Well, he was a tight end in high school, and for some reason, when he got to Virginia Tech, they decided to make him a quarterback. And he had some good years in college playing quarterback.
Yeah.
I think he got them to the Sugar Bowl. I think he was the quarterback on that Sugar Bowl team that lost to Michigan.
Well, he was just so big. The biggest quarterback, tallest quarterback in college football that year.
Yeah, but he's definitely a tight end. I always thought, I think his name was Henry Burris. Was it him? I know he ended up playing well in the CFL, but he had a Sunday night game where he was, I think he was starting for the Bears against Tampa Bay, back when Tampa Bay's defense was like really, really good. And it didn't go well for him in that game. But yeah,
What's the odds adjustment here? If Allen were healthy and playing, so you have the line 7.5 with Peterman. Derek Anderson playing.
I don't think it's that much. I mean, all those guys are so bad that you almost, I mean, maybe the line would be like 6.5 or 7 if Allen was starting, but this isn't like a big difference. All those guys, it's not like Allen's any good. I mean, all those guys are all terrible. So I don't think you're looking at a huge adjustment. I'll call it Colts -6.5 if you had a fully healthy Josh Allen.
So I didn't know Derek Anderson was in the league still.
Neither did I. I didn't know that either. I just found that out on Tuesday when I was doing a radio show. Like, oh, by the way, Derek Anderson is starting for the Bills. Derek Anderson, is he still in the NFL? I guess the Bills signed him last week.
I will say, back-to-back podcast, that Derek Anderson gets a reference. Remember, I referenced him last week when I was talking about that exciting Browns team from a decade ago. A decade.
Yeah.
And, oh, gosh. And by the way, I lost a big eliminator pool the year I bet on Derek Anderson or against him? I can't remember. It's with the Panthers.
Derek Anderson has been – God, the Browns have had so many quarterbacks, man. I mean, it's like you could never list every quarterback the Browns have had in the last 15 years.
So you don't think there's much of a draw? I actually think there is. Like, this is a bet on for me. I think Buffalo –
You like the Colts?
Well, I think Buffalo – like, last week I had them in the bonanza. I think they're fine. Like, I think they're – You know,
their defense is good.
Yeah, their defense is good. They punt.
They're really well coached.
Yeah.
I mean, Sean McDermott, for him to get that team to the playoffs last year and to have this team competitive this season when I'm pretty sure they're trying to be bad, he's doing a really good coaching job there.
But I think a really bad quarterback like Peterman, or we'll see Anderson. I can't say he's going to be Peterman bad. I have to see him. But, you know, like it'll be exactly what happened last week. Short field, pick six. You know, you can't do that stuff when you have the – Bills offense, but you can grind out and cover if you just play normally.
Peterman bad is bad. It's really bad.
I think you'd have to make the line 9.5 with Peterman.
With Peterman? I can't.
You wouldn't get any bets on him. You would not get any bets
on Buffalo. He'd throw an interception on the first drive. He's so entertaining.
He's really bad. I feel bad knocking him, but like, it's hard not to.
He's a professional football player.
Allegedly.
These guys get he's getting paid to play professional football.
All right, let's table this discussion straight ahead. We'll come back and talk about the Big showdown at Arrowhead. Chiefs hosting the Bengals. Back with you on the Behind the Bets podcast. All right, Murray, let's talk about how you come up with this line with the Chiefs, such a popular team and the only undefeated against the spread this season so far.
Kansas City laying 6 at home against the Bengals. You know, the Bengals actually were one defensive stand away from being 5-1, Doug. If their defense could have just held on there and held Pittsburgh on that last drive, they'd be 5-1. They'd be right there at the top of the AFC, too. Cincinnati does have a lot of injuries, but they've got a lot of talent on offense. This should be a pretty entertaining game, as evidenced by the total. We currently have 58 here at the Westgate.
I know. I was going to mention that. So the Chiefs went over their first four games of the season, have gone under back-to-back weeks. Obviously, last week the Chiefs went over, but they had gone under two before that. So both of these teams, 4-2 to the over, and obviously the number shows that. Most of the Chiefs' totals have been in the 50s. This is tough, man, because the Bengals are more than respectable. They're good. But when you have that Chiefs offense, it's just lights out.
Yeah, I don't want to fade Patrick Mahomes again for a few weeks. I need to. I'm going to leave him alone.
Some of you want to poke a bear there?
He had one throw where he was rolling out to his right, and he just flipped it like 40 yards, and it just landed right in the running back's hands. That guy, I mean, you know, Jared Goff, I think we agree, is more of a system quarterback. He's running Sean McVay's offense very well. I give him credit, but he's mostly just standing back there and hitting open receivers. Patrick Mahomes, he's moving out of the pocket. He's throwing on the run. He's doing it all. He's amazing.
I mean, they say it's Brett Favre. I never saw Favre do it like this with ease. I mean, Favre had escapability and was exciting in that regard, but Mahomes does it with such ease.
No, I don't see the Favre comparison at all. I mean, Favre also threw like a million interceptions. I see him more like an Aaron Rodgers, but with a bigger arm and more mobile.
Yeah, I mean, Favre would be like a full body throw, right? When he would roll out of the pocket, escape a sack, and he'd zing it, but it would be like his whole body would contort.
Yeah, Mahomes, it's just effortless with his arm strength. He's really a remarkable player. Fun to watch.
This could be a stinker of a game. Jacksonville hosting Houston. Got the old five, the old key number of 5 here.
Is Houston on the least impressive 3-game winning streak we've ever seen in the NFL? They had the overtime win against the Colts, the overtime win against Dallas. Both of those were highlighted by questionable decisions by the coaches of those teams. And then they beat the Bills at home on Sunday, thanks
barely.
To two late interceptions from Nathan Peterman. Yeah, barely beat the Bills, right. So that they're on a 3-game winning streak that I think has saved Bill O'Brien's job. Not the most impressive run, though.
I don't know what to think of Jacksonville. We touched on it earlier about Bortles and stuff, but, I mean, are they this bad? I mean,
I don't think so. They can't be as bad as they looked against Dallas. I still think Jacksonville should win the AFC South, but they're clearly a notch below New England, Kansas City, and don't forget about Baltimore. Baltimore in the AFC North, they look very good right now.
Baltimore is very good. Let's go to that game because that's the marquee game, right, of the afternoon. Baltimore hosting
New Orleans.
I think
so. I think it should have been flexed into the Sunday night game, Doug. I mean, I think this is the best game of the week. New Orleans coming off their bye week after a big win over the Redskins on Monday Night Football. Baltimore off of a really good win over Tennessee, 11 sacks in that game, held the Titans to 0 points. The Ravens' defense against the Saints' offense, about as good of a matchup as you can have in the NFL.
Yeah, you mentioned the 11 sacks. I believe there was a total of 11 like rushes on the quarterback, pressures, and all of them resulted in sacks. That like never happens.
That's amazing.
So Baltimore minus 2.5, minus 20 here. Any sharp action?
Not really. I haven't seen too much on this game yet, although I'm going to weigh in on this game when we get to the bonanza.
Ooh.
I'm going to make a little little play here.
We will get to that moment.
Get some action for Kai, for something for Kai to root against as he sits there with the John Murray doll that he's poking pins in on Sundays.
What about your Redskins? We saw that win coming a mile away. We talked about it, and they got there. I tweeted about this, and I should have done a Twitter play on the bonanza. The Redskins have only scored one touchdown this season in the second half, and that was a garbage one on Monday night at the very end.
And that's crazy.
I believe they only have a total of 3 points in the third quarter. All their third quarters and all their second halves, that's what the stats apply to. So they're clearly having issues. And they're laying two.
Well, that means they're not making the, you know, Doug, that means they're not making the right adjustments at halftime. But one thing they are doing right is they're going for it on fourth downs. There was a critical sequence in that game where Ron Rivera punted on fourth and short. Washington got the ball back, went for it on fourth and short, converted the fourth down, and scored a touchdown to go up 14-0.
I did tweet about
punting
that.
Punting is for losers. Punting is for losers. We know it, guys. We all know it. Somebody's got to tell Riverboat Ron about it. But, you know, Jay Gruden, I don't think that much of him. I think he's okay. But he is good about going forward on fourth down. He's one of those guys that understands the math of going forward on fourth and short. And that was a big critical sequence in that game.
And it was in his own territory, right?
Yeah. And I think Rivera did it around midfield. He punted. Gruden went, I think he was like on his own 40 or 45.
I think you're right.
He went for it.
I was tweeting about it.
And they took a 14-0 lead, and they held on to that lead barely. But that without that sequence there, they don't win that game.
Well, let's go to that Sunday night game. Rams at the Niners. Short week for San Francisco. Rams, yeah. I mean, look, they got the backdoor cover in Denver, but we kind of anticipated that. It'd be a tough grind-out win, but I keep saying that undefeated is on the table here.
Well, this game was flexed out of the Sunday night game. They put the
my
Bengals
apologies.
Game.
My apologies.
No, that's all right. I mean, I think it's because of the injury to Jimmy Garoppolo, right? Yeah, the Rams, this is their third straight week as a road favorite of a touchdown or more. They failed to cover the last 2 weeks against Seattle and Denver. And actually now we're seeing pretty split money on this game. People are backing the 49ers too. Hmm. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of bets on the Rams. But there is also money on the 49ers, which we didn't see much of in the last two Rams games.
Interesting. So the public is taking the dog there. We don't see that very
there's
often.
There's money both ways. There's more money on the Rams, but it's fairly even.
Monday Night Football. What do you know? The Giants in primetime. Just what everybody wants.
Yeah, this should be a great game, right? you know, I got a little dinged on this one. I'm going to take the Giants in the bonanza, but we had a guy come in this morning, took 5.5 and lowered our number to 4.5. I'm going to take it anyway because I'm just crazy like that. But
well, you don't have to lower it. You can keep the number there for the bonanza. You know, you can Murray.
That's a good strategy. No, I kind of like the Giants in this spot. I think this number is a little bit high. Atlanta, a lot of injuries on defense. But, man, the Giants, God, Eli Manning just looks so bad. But I'm going to go with a small play on the Giants.
Isn't this the classic game where Eli, just when you think he's dead, he's going to throw 3 touchdowns and carve up?
I don't know if he's capable at this point in his career. I mean, I know what you're saying, but I don't know if he's capable. I can tell you that all the money is on the Falcons,
I'm glad. I was going to mention
took the Giants.
The guy who took the 5.5. Like, why not just wait? Don't you think this goes to 6?
I don't know if it's going to go to – I just don't think the Falcons are any good. You know, the Falcons
are not.
I mean, the Falcons, I think, if Tampa Bay scores that late touchdown, that was a very interesting play call, by the way. It didn't work, of course, but if that play had worked, that would have gone down as like one of the great play calls in NFL history. But if the Buccaneers had scored that touchdown, I think Atlanta would be 1-5. So Atlanta, they stink.
I loved the play call. I thought it was very creative. And
me too.
I don't think you can ever try it again. I think it's like a one and done in terms of now defenses will be at least aware, you think? That
it almost worked,
man. From the 20?
I think I still would have just thrown a fade to Mike Evans in the end zone. But, man, that play call almost worked.
It really did. All right, let's get down to the gambling.
Okay.
It's time for Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
Well, we kind of knew it was going to happen. I just a little surprised it happened the following week. I knew I'd get crazy with all the amount of money. But I didn't give it all back. I lost $2,000, $23,030, and I'm at $32,030.
Well, this is why I didn't want to get too crazy last week, because I thought this would eventually – I mean, this is going to happen over the course of 21 weeks. Or anyone's going to have a bad week, but I got to pick winners myself. You know, it's like you can't come back in a basketball game or a football game if you don't play defense yourself. So, or offense in this case. But I couldn't pick a winner either. The Patriots really let me down on Sunday Night Football. I'd bet that again. I'd bet Patriots minus 3.5 again. But it didn't get there.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we should step it up with the money line. I don't know. We were looking pretty good there for you with up 7. And then one play is all it took to tie it.
Well, I think they were up by, like, I think they're up 24-9 at halftime. Is that right? I mean, I can't remember. That was such a wacky game. It's hard to remember all the...
15-point margin, I know.
Yeah, but they were covering most of that game. I know the Kansas City briefly took the lead in the fourth quarter, but New England, I would take New England again in that spot. But, you know, Kansas City, my hat's off to Mahomes. They're just a very good offense. They're a great offense.
I had, I think, 7 or 9 plays last week. Shockingly, I didn't do well.
It's tough. It's tough with that kind of volume.
To sweat out the Jags game. That's the silver lining there.
No, that one was. Wouldn't you rather lose that way? I mean, do you really want it to be one of those scenarios where you're winning the whole game and you lose at the end? Mm. I think I would rather just take my L.
Well, I would have maybe live traded out of it. That would be my only caveat.
That's fair. Good point.
All right, man. Well, I lost more than last week, but I'm also up overall more. So who gets the tee box?
I can't go to the tee box after that Patriots loss.
I think you're on the tee box. It's like I'm still up in the skins game, but you won the last hole, so you're.
Yeah, right. I kind of feel like I should be sitting in the cart nursing my beer, but I'll go up there. I'm going to start off with a $500 play on the Jets +3.5 -110 here at the Superbook. At home against the Vikings. Mentioned earlier on the show, all the bets are on Minnesota. I'm going to go with the Jets as a small dog here at home.
3.5 there. All right. I mentioned that Chicago kind of has the kryptonite for the Patriots. And I don't trust Trubisky. I'm going under 49 in New England and Chicago for a nickel.
Okay. I can't... Betting on an NFL game under is tough, but I wish you the best of luck. you know what? I'll stick in that same game. I hate doing this so much, Doug, but this line moved to -120 while we were recording. I'm going to do it anyway. You know, it didn't work for me last time, but I'm going to take the Bears +3. It was +3 -110 when we started recording this show, but it's now -120. You know that I'm a man of integrity.
Yep.
I'll take the Bears +3 -20 for this would be 600 to win 500.
Okay. All right. Now we're talking. As Deep Throat once said, follow the money. And I see that you guys are a little higher on the Redskins here at -2, where everyone else is -1.5. That's telling me something, as are the Dallas Cowboys, who have stunk on the road this year. Yeah. They've lost in Seattle, lost in Carolina, lost in Houston. Their offense is pathetic on the road. Dak Prescott is still inaccurate. I don't care what happened last week. Give me the Redskins -2 at home in this division matchup. I trust Captain Checkdown will move the ball enough and get me enough points.
The Reds, I've been to a lot of these Dallas
I'm doing it for
Washington
a dime.
Games,
I apologize.
Man.
I'm doing it for a
dime.
You're
taking it for a dime. I've been to a lot of these Cowboys-Redskins games in Washington. It's actually in Maryland because they won't build a stadium in Washington, D.C., But I wish you the best. That's all I can really say. Wish you certainly rooting for you, but good luck.
Good luck. That's what we're getting. Any other plays you got?
Yeah, I'm going to go. You're not going to believe this, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to go with another -120 play. I feel sick to my stomach, but I'm going to take the Ravens -2.5, -120 against the New Orleans Saints. I think the Ravens win this game. Offense versus defense. I'm going to go with the Ravens defense against the Saints offense. I'll do that one. Another $500 play on the Ravens.
That's a interesting play.
I like the Ravens in that spot.
I'm doing a teaser. Somebody tweeted me last week. They're like, "Where's your teaser?" I'm like, "Yeah, I do. I usually do them every week." There's one team I love in the teaser, and that's the Colts -1.5. That is a key sort of game line number to tease, 7.5, because you go through 7, not just from 7 down, you go through through 7, and then the 6, 4, and 3 to get to 1.5. So I like that, and I just think I'm not losing. Like, Colts are not losing that game, so 1.5 is fine. Like, you just cannot. You cannot. Like, just trade Andrew Luck if you do, because you have the worst team. So I'll give
me a pretty bad loss.
Colts -1.5 there. And I'm going to take it to the Chargers in London. I'm going to lay minus a half. I know there's some variables there and some unknowns, and it's but whatever. I don't think Tennessee's very good. I don't think Mariota's very good, although the Titans have been frisky all year. We talked about the Jets and the Niners being the definition. Kind of the Titans are there as well. And with trepidation, I'll do that teaser. For 500.
I'm good with it. I'm good with it. I'm gonna give you my final play. I mentioned it earlier on the show. I got screwed because somebody beat me to the number while we were talking. It's my own fault for being such a chatty Kathy. But I'll take the Giants plus 4.5 for a nickel. That's the Monday night game. A must win for the Giants, or they go to 1-6. Although it's a must win for the Falcons too. They
need to win. Kai's nodding.
Yeah. I mean, I think our season's over anyway. But if we lose this game, that's just the final nail in the coffin.
Kai, I'm just trying to wedge in a must-win joke before the show ends.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're implying that the season is not lost yet?
Yeah, I remember when the Raiders were, I think, 0-2 or 0-3, everybody out here was calling it a must-win, their next game a must-win, and I was like, a must-win for what? Like, what are they going to do after they win? What's the difference? I'll go with the New York Football Giants here. I'll take the 4.5. Hopefully it doesn't land 5. I don't really consider 5 a key number in the NFL, but we'll see.
Never know with extra points these days.
You never know.
I am out of plays. Do you have any others?
No, that's it for me. I got the 4 plays, all for a nickel. If I didn't clarify that, I think I did. But they're all 4 of my plays are for 500.
All right, man. Interesting stuff. We'll try to get off the mat this week and give some winners out for our loyal listeners.
I'm going to do my best. NFL is tough, but I'm doing my best here.
All right, bud. We'll catch you next week.
All right, man. I'll talk to you later.
This has been Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
And coming up, Mike Clay, Fantasy Insider, will join us to discuss some prop bets. But first, a word from one of our sponsors. Every man looks better and feels more confident when he puts on a suit. Indochino is expanding into casual clothing with made-to-measure chinos. We make suits and shirts to your exact measurements for an unparalleled fit and comfort. Here's how it works. Visit a stylist at a showroom and have them take your measurements personally or measure at home yourself and shop online at Indochino.com. Choose your fabric inside and out. Choose your design customizations. Submit your measurements with your choices. Relax while your suit gets professionally tailored and mailed to you in a couple of weeks. This week, listeners can get any premium Indochino suit for just $359 at Indochino.com when entering Behind the Bets at checkout. That's 50% off the regular price for a made-to-measure premium suit. Plus, shipping is free. That's Indochino.com, promo code Behind the Bets for any premium suit for just $359 and free shipping. Incredible deal for a premium made-to-measure suit. Indochino also expanding into casual clothing. Your made-to-measure chinos will quickly become your go-to pant, pairing as easily with a suit jacket as they do with a sweater. And they'll be good any time of year for any occasion, from boardroom meetings to Sunday brunches. Indochinos at an introductory price of $79.
Talk nerdy to me.
He's back for more as we borrow that segment, continue to borrow that segment from the gentleman at College Football Campus Conversation, particularly Brad Edwards in the analytics group, as we bring in Mike Clay, Fantasy Insider. Mike, how are you, man?
I'm good. I don't know if we could call it borrowing now. I think we just full-on stole it.
Yeah, we stole it. A five-finger discount there. Look,
I think so.
We were stolen for some wins based on the stupid Packers-Niners game. That was a game that unraveled for all the props because you were continuing the success into that Monday Nighter.
Yeah, we were off to another good start last week. We started actually 2-0 in the Eagles-Giants, and then we lost the Kareem Hunt one. That one went over a little bit on the rushing yards. And then it all fell apart with the Packers-Niners. We went 0-3 in that game. We were heavy on Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams bets, but that happens sometimes. You know, it happens in prognostication. You know it. Everybody listening, I'm sure, knows it. You know, you can only project so much, but sometimes the game just goes off the rails. Think about that game where Vegas and everyone else thought the Packers would win that by probably double digits. Think about the Super Bowl last year. I mean, you can't project reasonably and expect, you know, one or two punts an entire game. It's just sometimes the games go off the rails. That was the case with the Packers 49ers game. So 0-3, but so far so good on the season. It was just a rough one there.
Yeah, that happens. And, you know, all bettors know that. I mean, you just have to be like 56%, I believe it is, to make a lot of money. So you have to be comfortable with losses in the betting world. So let's talk about the upcoming primetime games, Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Let's start tonight with Case Keenum here.
Yeah, I'm going to go under 24.5 completions on Case Keenum here. Actually, that's exactly where he is on the season so far, 24.5 completions. And, you know, that's despite, actually, this might be hard to believe, but the Broncos have held the lead on only 12% of their offensive snaps so far this season. That's lowest in the entire NFL. So despite that fact, Keenum is still at 24.5 completions on the year, and they're facing Arizona. You would expect them to be able to run the ball more in this game. I think a lot of us are picking Denver to win. Even if you're not, you probably think it's going to be pretty close. And they're calling you run-heavy offense, but again, they're just behind so often they're forced to throw the football. So I think in a more competitive game with the game script going more their direction, they'll be able to run the football, keep down Keenum's attempts and completions in this game. So I do like the under.
All right, I like that. Let's go to Sunday night, a game that was flexed into primetime, Bengals at the Chiefs, with obviously Patrick Mahomes, the star for everyone.
Yeah, and I'm gonna stay away from him. I do like the under on his passing yards a little bit, but man, he's been so good. He's been off the charts. It's like, and you and I talked about this about a month ago. They're kind of breaking the NFL now, right? It doesn't really make sense, but he continues to throw for over 300 yards. They keep scoring a ton of points. So, you could go a little under on his passing yards, but again, not too comfortable betting against Pat Mahomes and that Chiefs offense right now. But one that I do like is Joe Mixon over 80.5 rushing yards. Just look at his workload so far this season. He's averaging 84 rushing yards per game in the four appearances he's had this season. And remember, he missed half of one of those games with the injury back in week number two. And you look at his three full games so far, he's been on the field for 76% of their snaps, 90% of their carries he's handled, and actually 19% of the targets as well. He's just been a total workhorse and averaging 4.7 yards per carry, by the way, on over 70 carries. So the efficiency has been there, a massive amount of volume, and he's playing this Chiefs defense that they've allowed 100-plus rushing yards to running backs in four of six games. They've been over 143 of the past four. So this aligns pretty well for Mixon to have a huge game.
I mean, that's their Achilles heel, and that's what teams want to do. You want to run against a bad rush defense, and that also keeps Patrick Mahomes off the field.
Yeah, no question. And again, they've committed to Mixon, right? We've seen that so far. It's not even when Gio Bernard comes back, and remember, he's out. So they just have the rookie Mark Walton behind him. Even when he's back, I mean, they want to feature Mixon. They want to use him like some of the superstars across the NFL, how you're seeing Todd Gurley use and David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell when he's
and
in
what the Pats did last week with Sony Michelle.
Yeah, well, I mean, with them, they get James White, obviously, in passing situations. With Mixon, he's doing both. You know, he's on the field for passes and runs.
All right, let's go to the Monday Nighter. It's a high total on the board, 54.5 offense expected, but you want to go under with Matt Ryan here.
I do. He's been under 26.5 completions in four of six games this season, and that is the line for this game. The only exceptions he was not under this mark were the shootouts that he had so far this season. So I think he'll fall short. That was the Bucs and the Bengals, of course. I think the game script will be different in this one, where we've seen Atlanta with all their defensive issues have to throw the football a ton. I don't think they're going to have to do that at home against a struggling Giants team. They should build the lead early in this one and allow themselves to use Tevin Coleman and Ito Smith and run the football. By the way, this is kind of crazy. Again, the line's 26.5 completions. Believe it or not, last season he played 19 games, including the playoffs. He cleared 26.5 in one of those 19 games, just one. So I feel pretty confident that he's going to fall short of 26 in this one.
But this is the Giants, and anything happens in these games. They've been so all over the place. They had a great game with Carolina, should have won that game on the road, so a really competitive game. And then they'll just lay an egg as well. So if you can figure out this Giants team, be my guest.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not a fan. I didn't like them coming into the season. Just a very top-heavy roster. A lot of superstars. You could line them up for sure and get a nice list. But after that, just question marks and problem areas everywhere. So I'm not buying on on the Giants. Obviously, serious quarterback issues as well. So I'm happy to go out here and expect and project the Falcons for a comfortable win. I mean, they need it. If they get upset in this game, the season's over. They to have a shot to get back into the wild card mix, they have to have this one. It's a team they should be, and I think they will by a pretty decent margin.
And your final prop bet is, I think, one of the most fascinating storylines in fantasy football this year is Julio Jones.
Yeah, I mean, I banged the table all offseason saying that Julio Jones would bounce back in the touchdown department, and then Steve Sarkisian left me hanging here. They just stopped throwing to him at the goal line. So, I mean, kind of look back here. Last season, he should have had a lot more touchdowns. He had 16 end zone targets. That was eighth most in the league. He was 13th in OTD, which if you're not familiar, that's a stat we post every week at ESPN Plus, and it just shows you scoring opportunity, essentially based on your usage, how many touchdowns you should have. So he should have had 8.6 last season. That was 13th in the league. He only had three. Then this season, they come out against Philadelphia in week one, and he was fifth in the league in OTD at 1.4 through week one. He had the two end zone targets, a lot of work near the goal line, but didn't score. Then they changed. They had that 10 days off until week two. They decided, you know what, we're done forcing it to Jones at the goal line. So you look back at weeks 2 to 6, he's 118th, Doug, in the category at 1.2, just one end zone target. They have stopped using him near the goal line, and you just can't count on him to get the ball near the end zone. So I finally kind of given up on Julio. I'm going to take the no touchdown here at minus 140. The yes plus 120 is somewhat intriguing for a guy of his caliber, seeing a 30% target share. But I just, you know, they're not using him near the goal line, so I can't have much confidence that he's going to get in.
He is second in the NFL in receiving yards. Second.
Yeah.
And he has zero touchdowns. And as I scroll through this, so the guy who leads the NFL in receiving yards is Adam Thielen. He has four touchdown catches. DeAndre Hopkins is three. He has three touchdown catches. So of the top 65 in terms of the rankings of receiving yards, okay, so Thielen's one, Julio Jones. So the 65, top 65 in receiving yards, Kai, how many of those 65, we know Julio Jones has zero, how many total have zero receiving touchdowns?
Of the top 65,
Let's ask Kai, the producer.
What's the, all right.
So of the top 65 guys in receiving yards, so Thielen's one, Julio Jones is two, DeAndre Hopkins three, the 65, how many have zero receiving yards? We know Julio Jones is one. So how many others have zero touchdowns?
Oh, man. I would like to think none, but
Julio Jones is one of them, right? So you're saying none others? Mike, where do you stand?
Yeah, no others.
That's the answer. Yeah. No others.
Julio
Jones.
Although it could have been Odell if it wasn't for that last Carolina touchdown.
But of all, like, think about that. 65, the top 65 receiving yards leaders all have at least one touchdown. Julio has zero, except for him, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's really incredible. And you want to say, like, it's coming, you know, and it probably is. He's going to score a few touchdowns this season, but it is one of the biggest enigmas in football right now over the last few seasons. I mean, it's incredible. I don't think he's bad at it, and I know they put double coverage on him down there at times, but you should accidentally have some touchdowns when you're targeted 69 times in six games. It just, you should fall into the end zone by accident. It really is a tough one to figure out, and you hope at some point it turns the corner for him.
And over 700 yards receiving, so the execution's there. It's just
right.
A touchdown. All right, man, good stuff as always. Really appreciate your taking the time to join us. It's a good insight for those who like to get involved with prop bets.
All right, anytime. Good to be here. Thanks.
Talk nerdy to me.
All right, that wraps up the podcast. Thanks to everyone for downloading, rate, review, subscribe.
Subscribe.
There's four. You know, things come in threes usually, but Kai, we appreciate it. All right, man, this is something we want to do at the end of every podcast now. Confessions of a non-gambler. So we know a lot of you listening are new to the space. Maybe we use some lingo that isn't quite part of your daily vernacular, and Kai is in that boat. You are not alone, right?
Yeah. It's shamelessly, yeah.
Right?
It's not your fault. It's not your fault.
This is new to a lot of people. So Kai feels the pain sometimes of our listeners. Kai, you took some notes. What are some things you need explanations on?
So I was pretty good on the lingo this week. I'm starting to, you know, get the terminology. But I do have a question about your stance on the Pats Bears matchup this week. Because at first I heard you guys say it's the standoff of the year, you know, as far as
right. So it's pros versus Joe's standoff, right, meaning right. All the pros will be on the Bears, pros meaning professional bettors, mm-hmm. and all the Joes, the average Joes, the public, will be betting the Patriots.
Right. I just want to get some explanation from you as to why you picked the Bears, I believe, to go under in this match.
I picked the game to go under. I think it'll be a much more defensive battle because I think the Bears, their signature on defense is a pass rush. So I think they'll get to Brady. I don't think New England will have as much ease moving up and down the field because I think the one thing is getting Brady off his spot. And that's what the Giants did in Super Bowls.
That's sort of like
the Achilles heel. And I think Belichick's going to play it straight here because I think he's going to – I don't think Trubisky's going to do much on offense because I think – like much like we saw Belichick confuse Mahomes a week ago and throw some looks that he hadn't seen, Trubisky's much more prone to the turnover. So he's going to try to confuse the young quarterback. And I just don't – I mean, it's a high number. I just don't see that many points being scored when you have – Bears defense involved.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, I heard a rumor. Now, this is probably not true at all, but I heard Khalil Mack was nursing a little bit of an injury or a hiccup. Does that change anything?
Yes, it does. Obviously, he's the pass rush specialist. I believe he got hurt early in the Dolphins game, so that was one thing that sort of inhibited the bet on the Bears. So he sat out practice, considered day-to-day with a right ankle injury as I Google things. There's only so much you can do at this point when you have to make your plays on Thursday. But with Max day-to-day, I still trust the Bears' defense to at least slow down. They're much better than what we've seen the Patriots face certainly last week with the Chiefs.
Right. Okay. No, that makes sense. It's just we will see with Khalil Mack, though.
Okay. So you wanted an explanation on a game. But there's no lingo, no terminology that you didn't follow, right?
No.
Pretty clean show.
This week I was pretty good, yeah.
All right. Good. We're getting there. So we need those reminders at the end of the show to elaborate on some topics. All right, that's going to do it. Thanks to Mike Clay and John Murray. Don't forget, Stanford Steve and the Bear have their own podcast under their own umbrella, and obviously Phil Steele and Murray joined me yesterday on the College Football Podcast on Wednesday, so go download that one as well. We'll catch you here next week. Good luck on the games this weekend.
Thanks for listening to Behind the Bets. You can listen and subscribe on the ESPN app or download and listen on Apple Podcasts.